Monday morning to you. It is time now for the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and your hosts are WK and Ken Boyce. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, everyone.
It is good to be here this morning. Dan, how old do you feel?
I feel very young.
Very young?
Yes.
You know, some days I feel like I'm about 17 years old. 17, 18 around there. And other days I feel like I'm a lot older than that.
Maybe invert that number to 71.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Oh, my. Well, good morning to everyone who's listening to us. We are glad that you're here, that you've joined us, and we invite you to stay tuned for this hour of The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute here in Springfield, Missouri. I'd like to say hello to those who are listening to us online. If you'd like to give us a call, if you're listening to us on streaming audio, our 800 number is 800-375-0056, or you can call us locally at 862-9977 or star 56 on your cell phone. This morning we're talking about aging. We're talking about what it means to be growing older. And I'm convinced that a lot of people that have grown up in this country didn't plan to live as long as they have. You know, we have over 10,000 people in this country today who are over 100 years old.
Centurions, yeah.
Yeah. I like Willard Scott. You know, he congratulates those who are having their 100th birthday.
Used to be one every month.
Yeah. Now it's every day, 6 or 8 a day. But I think a lot of people didn't live early in life planning on living as long as they have. I know one person said, if I had known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. We're talking about aging and growing. Heard the other day that 40 is now the new 30. 50 is now the new 40. 70 is now the new 60. But we seem to be not growing as old as fast as seemed like people did a century ago. You know, it's a century ago, the average age was 47 years of age.
Tough times.
Tough times. Today, the average age is right at 80. So it's almost doubled in the past 100 years. And what will happen in the next 100 years? And we're talking about my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They're already talking about the average age being 125 years old. And so what is life going to be like at that time? And if you are 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old today, are you an old person? And if so, what kind of old person? All right, Dan.
Dan cracking up over here. Jump in, Dan.
Old codger, I guess.
Old codger. Codger. You know, I remember looking at pictures when I'm doing genealogy and family histories. I remember looking at pictures and thinking, those people must be 100 years old. And at that time, they were like 60, 60, 70 years of age, and they looked to be 100 years old. I thought, my goodness, I'm approaching 60, and I don't think I look like that, and I don't think I act like that, but a lot of it has to do with how we've taken care of ourselves and how we look on our life and how we want to live life. Talk about growing older. There's a lot of baby boomers. You know, we have, I think, 78 million baby boomers in this country today, and those who were born from, I think, 46 to 64, who are now the sandwich generation. We've got children and grandchildren, and some of us have got great-grandchildren already. And then we've got parents, and some even grandparents. And so we've got four, five, six generations right here together in this country today, which was unheard of before.
I know Elizabeth over at Cox South, she's a great-great-grandmother. She's working. She's in her 80s. Surprised me. I figured she was in her late 60s, you know, maybe early 70s. And she's all over. She helps. She works there in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
And always has a smile on, always talking about, oh, I got another one. Which one, great or great-great? She goes, well, I got 40-something great-grandchildren and, like, 5 great-great-grandchildren.
She's a wonderful lady. I know her. I met her. And if you're over there having lunch, say hi to her.
Yeah.
And tell her congratulations. But we're having more and more men and women who are in this category. That's what I'm talking about. And who are truly a great resource for family.
You know, it's amazing. We're seeing a lot of newlyweds in their 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Very much so. People are waiting until 20s, 30s, even 40s to get married for the first time, you know, for their marriage and going to premarital counseling. You know, by the way, if you're wanting some premarital counseling, we are putting some premarital counseling packages on our website at springfieldmfi.com.
We've been working on that this week. It makes a great gift. You realize that over 95% of the people that complete premarital counseling have a successful marriage. They will stay together for a lifetime. That's an incredible, incredible statistic. Premarital counseling. allows us to be able to address the things we're going to run into the first 5 to 7 years of marriage. And really, when things happen, that's where a lot of marriages fail. Even if people go through divorce, you know, 20 years later, you'd be surprised at how many people carry the same baggage, the same arguments, the same resentments that they had. Something happened in the first 5 to 7 years of marriage, and the marriage fell apart. And then spend the next 10 years suffering through it before they decide to divorce. That didn't have to happen. We do not get married to get divorced. And so as we're putting the premarital things together, we're wanting to give people this jump start to have the chance of having that ever after marriage. We don't get married to get divorced. We get married because we want to enjoy life. We want to be with this person. So how do we do this? These are some things we're going to address. This makes an excellent gift. If you're a parent out there and you've got kids that are getting ready to get married, before you spend $20,000 on a wedding, send them over to Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Let them go through. If they can't make it through premarital, they probably can't make it down the aisle, or if they make it down the aisle, they won't last. Think about that. I know you think, oh, Ken, how much is this going to cost? It's going to run me a couple $1,000s. Well, no, it doesn't. In general, less than $500. That's being able to have around 6 sessions to come in and talk and get through just what the expectations are. What are some of the things that we're not seeing right now because love's blind? Hey, this is a great time to be in love. But let's also make sure this is something we're going to not regret. This is something we want to do, and we're going to help nurture and build. And so keep an eye. Go to springfieldmfi.com, springfieldmfi for marriageandfamilyinstitute.com. That should be up later on this week.
Yeah, it should be on the front page, and it'll take you over to our premarital page on the website. And, you know, people, as I said, are waiting longer to get married. Some average age for men to get married today is 27, and the average age for women today is 25. But many are waiting until 30, 35, 40 years of age to get married. And so they've got a lot of life experiences, career experiences. They've got things pretty well nailed down, many times financially, before they ever get married, which is, I think it's a wise move. But there are some out there who are still getting married at 17, 18, 19 years of age.
Where are you going to be in 60 years in your marriage?
Yeah.
60 years. You know, we're thinking about marriage right now, but we're talking about people aging much more gracefully than in the past. So if you're planning on living to be 90 years old and you're 20 getting ready to be married, how are you going to spend the next 70 years? What are your expectations? Wow, really hadn't thought of that.
Most 20-year-olds don't.
No, most 20-year-olds have one thing on the mind. That's natural. That's the way we are. But looking down the road, we're addressing issues now that we've never had to deal with. You know, being 80 years old, 85 years old, we have couples that have never seen their parents and grandparents live to this point.
This point in life.
And the challenges that they have, both financial, physical, emotional, the whole gamut. Being 80, 85 is just a different age. The issues are there. They're life's issues, the things that happen. You want to know, how do we get past this? What do we do? What do we expect next? You're looking at the baby boom generation of having 2 generations above them and through 2 to 3 generations below them. A lot of family systems to sit there and try to manage.
Yeah, there's so many stages in life that we're having to come to terms with. The families did not have to come to terms with earlier in the history of this country, simply because people are living longer and because people are healthier. Babies are being born healthier today than they were 50, 100 years ago. Expectant mothers are healthier today, for the most part, than they were 50 to 100 years ago.
I was going to say, 50 years ago, my wife wouldn't have survived childbirth the first time.
Yeah, and it's just incredible, the advancement in medicine, in the medical field, and how people are coming to the world healthier, and gives them such a head start coming into this life that it has a direct impact on the longevity of their lives. And that's what studies are showing. And so if you are 20 to 30-year-old, or if you are 40, 50, or you're a baby boomer,
so if you're a baby boomer right now, what are you going to do with the next 60 years?
You know, think about it. Think about it. Now, I'm 57 years old. I could possibly live another 50 years. I know there are men who are already retired who are younger than I am. What are they going to do for the next 50 years? I mean, how much fishing can you do? How much golf can you play? Isn't there more purpose in life than that?
What happens when the money runs out?
What happens when the money runs out? A lot of these people are having to go back to work, and that's something they hadn't planned for in their plans of retirement. And a lot of people have to go back to work, not because they're out of money, but because they're out of purpose. And they stop living, and they find that they're bored, and they need a new challenge. They need something else to contribute their life to. And sometimes we get to the age we are and not realize how long we've lived. Have you realized that? Here, Sam was like, where's the time gone? Let me ask some questions, you know. How many of these do you remember?
Before we ask, if you'd like to join us in studio, give us a call, 862-9977, or 1-800-375-0056. Let's see who can answer these.
How many remember Bazooka Bubblegum? Yeah, our little wax Coke-shaped bottles with colored sugar water inside. Our television broadcast ending at night and not coming on until late morning.
I'm not that old and I remember that.
I'm dating you here. Are some machines that dispense bottles, or hamburger joints with tableside jukeboxes, home delivery and glass bottles with cardboard stoppers. Dan, remember the party lines on the telephones?
Used to have one.
I did too.
I remember Mamaw and Papaw had one. I had no idea what in the world was going on. We'd go down from Jefferson City. At the time I was living in Jefferson City, and we'd go to visit my grandparents at their house down in Texas. And I picked up the phone, someone was talking on the line. I'm like, hello? My grandparents, oh, hang that up. I had no idea what a party line was.
Party lines were, for those who don't know, this was a telephone line that everybody shared in your neighborhood.
Had some great gossip that way.
Oh, my. and finally got smart and started limiting it to 3 minutes. After 3 minutes, it'd automatically be cut off. Newsreels before the movies. Or Butchwax. Butchwax would be really good on these mohawk haircuts today that these kids are wearing. Telephone numbers with the word prefix like Olive 6933. Or even before that, Patty, can you get me so-and-so? Talk directly to the operator. Pea Shooters, or the Howdy Doody Show. 45 RPM records and record players and S&H green stamps. The television test pattern. Metal ashtrays with levers. And you don't stick your tongue to them.
Don't lick the frost off.
Mimeograph paper, blue flash bulbs. The Amy and Andy Show. Roller skate keys. Cork pop guns. Drive-in theaters. Or Studebakers. They were automobiles. One of the best automobiles ever built. In fact, my dad worked for Studebaker dealership in Midland, Texas. They sold a lot of cars, and Studebakers would outlast many, many cars, which is one of the reasons they went out of business. Did you know that?
Didn't know that.
That's right. Washtub ringers. How many remember washtub ringers?
I know what it is. I don't remember ever using one.
I remember I was 5 years old. I went to the laundromat with my mom in Midland, Texas. I was living out there. I saw this thing, these two wheels turning, and I thought, that's the most fascinating thing. So I put my fingers up there,
ow!
And it ran my arm all the way up to the armpit in that ringer. I thought, oh my gosh. Or the television day beginning and ending with a Star-Spangled Banner.
I miss that.
You know? So how many of these do you remember? You know, it's a matter of where are we in life? And I remembered most of these, if not all of these. I think I remembered all of them. And it says, remember 21 to 25 of these, you're older than dirt. Well, that's that's me, I guess. But Ken remembered a lot of these.
I'm only 27.
You're now you better fess up here.
I don't know. I'm over 27, but I had to do the math. Actually, everyone's now reminding me I have a birthday coming up.
Oh, that's right. On June 14th.
Flag Day.
Ken has a birthday. And it's just around the corner.
It is just around the corner.
And I'm sure Steve is telling you. You know what she's going to tell you.
Oh, I know. You're getting old.
Oh, gosh.
But I feel younger now than I did when I got out of the service. I look younger now than I did when I got out of the service.
Well, that's true. You do.
So I don't even think about age anymore.
Yeah.
I have fun with my kids, and I have fun with life in general.
Yeah. You know, what is it about living that makes us grow older? That makes us grow old. What is it about that?
Beyond just the wear and tear on the body?
Beyond just the wear and tear on the body, yeah. What is it that makes us get old? Have you ever stopped to think about it?
Well, WK, I got stress. I got worries. I got things I got to do. It just happened.
And that's what it seemed like. We just get old because it just happened. And I want to challenge our thinking about this. And that is, growing older doesn't have to be inevitable. I want to die young, and I want to die as healthy as I can be. Now, when I say die young, I don't mean today.
Thank you.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is I want to die young at heart. I want to die young in spirit. I want to die young, even physically, that my body is taking me into advanced years and kind of a time capsule type format. But I want to die young, that I have still a zest for life, that I have a heart for people. I have a love for families. I want to die in a way that I'm still moving forward. And the reason I'm saying this is because I've watched too many people die long before they die. I see them dead long before they die. And I want to challenge all of us. If that is our attitude, if we are so sour on life, if we have become so discouraged and disgruntled and dispassionate in life that we have died and our heart is dead. We no longer care or feel for people, or no longer care and love our family, have that vitality and love for our family. And we need to change our mind, because it's a choice. It's a choice of how we live. Not all of us live life perfectly. None of us live life perfectly. But it's a choice of how we live. And we can choose to die young, and we'll die young. Or we can choose to die later in life, still young at heart, young in mind, still achieving, still learning, still growing mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And I know that the outer body, this body that we have, wears down, and I know that the vigor and the vitality of our earthly body is wearing away. Okay? But I know that it doesn't have to be as fast as it once was, and we're already showing that it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If we'll just continue to take care of our body and take care of our heart, our mind, our spirit, and we can grow old along with a lot of other people.
What is the life you've always wanted? What is the life I always wanted? If it just happens and we end up miserable, then we're not making the right choices. We're not engaging our own lives. As we sit there and age, how much of this sounded like our marriage? Not just our personal life, but our married life. It does not have to be that way. Yeah. It is a conscious choice to say, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to do whatever it takes to achieve the life I want, to achieve that happily ever after, or at least the pursuit of it. It's our choice. And what choice are we making? Are we choosing to be miserable? Are we choosing to just give up? Are we saying, I'm not going down without a fight? I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. That's our choice. You know, we have people that are coming into Springfield MFI who are tired of fighting, who are tired of arguing, who are tired of being depressed, who are wondering what happened. And that is excellent. Because when they leave the door, they're going, wow, why did I wait so long? It's a difference of perspective. It's a difference in knowledge. Being able to address what's going on and how to take and cope and deal with life. Seize the day. Take control. Know yourself. We've heard these things before. Mm-hmm. But it's something we have to do on a day-to-day basis. I had someone one time ask me, Ken, you seem like the most positive person in the world. And it set me back, to be perfectly honest. Because by nature, I can get depressed rather quickly. I battle it every day. But every day I get up and I choose that I'm going to make this a great day. I'm going to choose to be happy. I'm going to choose to look for something good. I'm going to choose to play with my kids when I don't feel like playing with my kids.
Or grandkids with me. Yeah.
You know? But it's a choice.
Yeah.
And sometimes we haven't been taught that it's a choice. All right, we have other people trying to run us down. It's called the crab mentality.
Explain that.
The crab mentality. For the Filipinos out there, Filipinos already know this. My wife's from the Philippines, so if you're wondering how I knew that. But the crab mentality, if you've ever gone into a market, especially the Asian markets, you go there and there'll be big bins of live seafood, et cetera, and you'll have crabs in the box, just in the bin. And when one of them tries to get out, the other one pulls them back down. The others will just yank on them, pull them back down in the box.
Yeah, I have seen that. I didn't know about that mentality concept, though. I've seen that happen.
But people do the same thing. If you ever see someone that's trying to do something different or get out of where they're at, there'll be other people around them telling, oh, you're not going to do that. You're not going to succeed. Saw a comic line the other day, and husband goes, sweetie, you just don't believe in me. And the wife looks at him and goes, oh, yeah, dear, I believe in you totally. I know you're going to fail. That's that crab mentality.
Yeah.
That's, well, it's never going to get better. Live with it. No, this is the life I always wanted. So as we're addressing these things on a day-to-day basis, knowing that there's a good chance we've got 70 years ahead of us. For people my age, I'm in my 30s. At least that's what I've been told.
That's pretty close.
So how am I going to live my life? Even with the stresses of the day, whether it's finance, whether it's scheduling, whatever, how am I going to live this life? If you'd like to join us in studio, 862-9977. If you're outside the area or listening to the audio stream, 800-375-0056. We'll be back.
Hi, this is WK Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m., where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
And you're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And once again, here are your hosts, WK and Ken Boyce, in the second half of the show.
And we are back.
Yeah, we are.
How old do you feel? How old do you feel? With our age and life expectancy increasing from 80 to 150 over the next 50 years, how are we living our life today, and what are we planning on tomorrow? What are we doing for our individual selves? How are we taking care of our marriages? And how are we raising our kids? Knowing that we not only affect the next four generations, but there's a really good chance we're going to see the next four generations.
Very good chance. Very good chance. I think we need to think outside the box. We're coming into stages of life that are brand new. I mean, not since
biblical times,
you know, have people lived to be into their hundreds. I mean, we're breaking new ground here. We're going to have to think outside the box of what these stages of life are going to bring about and how we really want to live at that age and how we really want to live. That's the point. It's not a matter of getting older, you know, looking forward to dying, but it's a matter of living until we die. You know, we're all going to die. We all know that. You know, unless the Lord comes first, we're all going to die. But we need to die as full of life and vitality as possible.
Has anyone seen the professor that gave his last speech? I know this has been something that's it's sweeping across the nation. Matter of fact, his book is now in Walmart. But the professor gave his last address.
Yeah, the last lecture.
The last lecture is the name of it. And if you haven't seen that, I'll post a link on our site and put it in the email for you. But this gentleman has two kids, mid-40s, and he's dying.
Pancreatic cancer. Yeah.
Pancreatic cancer. Doesn't know how long he's going to live. Doctor said maybe 6 months. So he gave the lecture back in September to his class, and he said, you know, I didn't do this for y'all. I did it for my two sons. And it's blowing people away because they cannot remember. It's impacting them because they have not seen anyone live like this. The guy got up and was invited to Oprah Winfrey show. Oprah's much bigger show than we are. But he gave this speech, and he's sitting there going, you know, right now people don't believe me. I'm healthier than a lot of you. I can sit here and do push-ups nonstop. I can run long distance. But I will die. And I'm not going to waste a single day, not a single moment between now and then. Now, what if you knew you were going to die? How would your life be different? How would you treat your kids? How would you treat your spouse? What priorities would you put in your life as far as your job, your career? How would you balance things? Would you take the time in the morning to say, you know, what is important and prioritize your life? We are no different than that professor. The only thing different possibly is the amount of time we have. And so many times we think, well, I've got tomorrow. I'll just do it tomorrow. Or I can't do it today. I just don't have time today. Maybe that's where we're coming from. We just don't have time to do it all. The point is, we have to, on a daily basis, prioritize our life. What is important? And if we can fix our compass on that, then everything else generally will fall into place. But if he can do it, knowing he's got 6 months left, then why can't we do it, whether we have 6 months or another six decades, to live the life with that zest, sucking the very juices of life out, getting everything out of the moment? Think about it.
Yeah, it's the old saying is, it's not how many days you have in your life, it's how much life you have in your days. And that is true for each of us. If you have not lived until today, if you haven't really stopped to think about what your life really is like until today, then start living today. Start really living today. As Ken talked about, choose life. You know, one of the things when Jesus was on earth, his message was, choose life. How much simpler can it be? It's a choice. How we live is our choice. We don't have to be a victim regardless of what has happened to us. I'm amazed at the amount of life that many of the immigrants who have come into this country and are coming into this country, and how they're choosing life in this country. They have sacrificed everything to get here, to have life in this country.
And when they get here, they succeed.
They succeed in life because they've chosen life. It's remarkable. And here, a lot of us born in this country are not choosing the life. We're not choosing to live life. We're waiting instead for life to be handed to us, which is a poverty mindset instead of an abundant life mindset. Our life is our choice. Our life is our choice. And as we grow older, every decade we grow older, our lives need to reflect the amount of memories and the greatness of love and mercy that we've shown. It's not what we've accomplished materially, but it's what we've accomplished with our life and how we've influenced others for good and how many people we have helped and how many others we've served. That's what counts in life. And it means standing up for yourself no matter what age you are. There's a story that's told as a true story about an elderly lady in Florida who did her shopping, and when she went out to her car, she found four men who were in the act of leaving with her vehicle. Well, this lady, this senior, dropped her shopping bags and she drew her handgun out of her purse. And she screamed at the top of her voice, "I have a gun and I know how to use it. Get out of the car." Well, these guys got out of the car. And I mean, they hightailed it. Got out of her sight. Well, she grabbed her bags up, got her groceries in the car, shut the car door, went to put her key in the ignition, and it wouldn't fit. And then it dawned on her why. A few minutes later, she found her own car parked about four or five spaces down. So she loaded her bags into that car, and then she drove over to the police station. The police sergeant she was telling the story to just couldn't stop laughing, because he pointed down at the other end of the counter where there were four men who were pale, who were reporting a carjacking by a mad elderly woman described as white, less than 5 feet tall, glasses, curly white hair, and carrying a large handgun. Now, that's the kind of senior moment to have.
If you're going to have a senior moment.
If you're going to have a senior moment, that's the kind of senior moment to have. You know? Not afraid to live. Not afraid to be who she is. Not afraid to stand up. Now, sometimes we make mistakes about that and how we do that, like she did. But I guarantee you, that'll be remembered forever. I like the older man who was sick and is in a hospital, and his name is Harold. Every time the nurse came in, she just drove him crazy. Just drove him crazy. Because she talked to him like he was a little kid. And she would say in a patronizing voice, you know how some people can, "And how are we doing this morning? Are you ready for a bath? Are we hungry?" One day, old Harold had had enough of this particular nurse. And so one day, he had breakfast and he pulled the juice off the tray and put it on his bedside stand. And he had been given a urine bottle to fill for testing. The juice was apple juice. So you know where the juice went. Yeah, it went in that urine bottle. Well, the nurse came in a little later and picked up the urine bottle and looked at it, and she said, "My, but it seems a little cloudy today." And at this, old Harold snatched the bottle out of her hand, popped off the top, drank it down, saying, "Well, I'll run it through again. Maybe I can filter it better this time." Well, the nurse fainted, and old Harold smiled, you know. How do we look at people who are older than us? How do we live our life? How do we live our life that says, "I am someone to be respected. I am someone that lives life. I am someone that I don't need your condescension. I don't need anything from you. I can take care of myself." You see, that's the kind of life. That's the attitude. That's the spirit that we need in life, no matter what age we are.
Another story of a 95-year-old woman in a nursing home received a visit from one of her church members, and the visitor asked, "How are you feeling?" The lady said, "Oh, I'm just worried sick." "Well, what are you worried about? You look like you're in pretty good health. Aren't they taking care of you here?" "Oh, yeah, they take great care of me." "What are you worried about?" Well, she leaned back in a rocking chair, slowly explained, "You know, every close friend I've ever had has already died and gone to heaven. I'm afraid if they're wondering where I went."
You know, those who are Christians, need to live every day as if Jesus is going to come back. And that's what Thessalonian Christians were doing. They were afraid that everyone else was dying and that they'd miss Jesus when he came. And we need to live our life that way. Live our life every day with such grace, love, and vitality, wanting to do the most we can today. Living this day as if it were the last day of our life on earth. Making choices as if this was the last day to be with our family, to be with our loved ones. To have a life, to build memories, to build experiences that we will enjoy the life.
So what do we choose? If we've been married 5 years and life has already become monotonous, just mundane, what are we going to do? If we've been married 20 years and it's just every day you're kind of wishing that rapture would come, I guess, that somehow let me off this ride. What if you've got another 40 years? You know, too many times in our culture, we're seeing that, well, let's just divorce and go on. one in two marriages end in divorce. Now, the majority of first marriages, about 80% are successful.
Yeah, that's right.
So that means that those of us who have been married and divorced and remarried have a better chance of getting divorced again. So if we're looking at our life and we've got 40 years left, are we contemplating divorce? Did you get married to get divorced? Did you get married to live miserably? Did you get married just to be worn down? Now, of course, that's a rhetorical question because the answer is no. Then what are we doing with our lives to change? You know, sometimes we need more knowledge to be able to help change. We can't do everything. We can't fix everything. And one of the greatest freeing things in life is to say, you know, I can't do this by myself. At Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, we have clients right now from age 3 to up to age 83. That's right. From 3 to 83. And everyone there is wanting a life they've always wanted. They're wanting to better themselves, to gain knowledge, to live life to the fullest, and they're finding it. We just facilitate it. We're able to let them see something from a different perspective, give them some knowledge that they've never been taught. It is an institute, the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. What do you think counseling is? It is learning. It is growing. We go to school. We go to university to learn trade. We don't go to university to learn how to be married, how to live. It's not really taught. Normally, it would be taught by example, but sometimes we didn't have the best teachers. But we do have the choice. Ignorance is not our choice.
Yeah.
Ignorance is not our choice. Stupidity is our choice. So as we're looking at it, as we look at our lives, what choice are we making? Are we going to choose to be this, or are we going to choose to do something different? If you're looking at your life, you're looking at your marriage, you're looking at your parenting skills, and you're going, this isn't what I want, then make a call and make a difference. Get some help, whether it's from Springfield Marriage and Family Institute or not. Get some help. If you'd like to give us a call, our phone number is 882-6767, 882-6767. If you like, springfieldmfi.com, you'll find out more about us.
This time of the year, coming into summertime, we've had kids graduate and leaving home, getting married, and things we talked about in the program the past couple of weeks, that sometimes couples are at a point in their life where now for the first time they don't have anybody else at home. And they've got twice as much of each other, and they don't know how to do that kind of life. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so this is something that we need to learn how to do. And maybe you didn't have that model for you growing up. You need to learn how to do that. And you can. That's my whole point.
You know, as we wrap things down, there was a part of the show that we may have been off the air, and we're back on the air now. If you'd like, go to our website, springfieldmfi.com. The entire show will be archived there later on today, and so you can pick up the last half, what part of the transmitter had gone down. So we apologize for that, but go to springfieldmfi.com and listen to us there. Listen to any of our shows there, or find out more about us.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a friend or family, refer them. We'd love to help. Remember, it's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.